Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Marie, who is the genius, the creative genius behind just about all of the graphic design things that happen through Living Compassion, which I suppose these days is really mostly the website, the beautiful things and that we have on the web and the emails that come out telling us about events and opportunities and that sort of thing. And she's with us this afternoon to talk about the schedule, which she has a big hand in putting together. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Jan.
Hey.
Hey.
I love the image that Michael handed us. I think it was last week when we were talking about the schedule. I can't remember if it was when Michael was doing the announcements or Ashwini was talking, but that image of walking up to a beautiful buffet banquet of practice opportunities, and that was the sense that he got when he looked at the 2013 schedule. I thought that was such a perfect image for it.
Yes, that is perfect. And I think what I feel when I look at the schedule, I think my eyes just start to sparkle because there's so much opportunity this year. And because I'm really not the author of the schedule, I can say that I think it's a brilliant schedule.
Exactly. That does kind of put you in a better position than if we were the ones who actually came up with it.
Yeah, because I was in on some of the meetings when it was discussed, like all of the variables that had to be considered and all the things we were trying to do to make it, you know, inclusive.
Yeah.
And then I'm amazed, you know, by what evolved from that process. And I was really touched by the attention to detail, you know, in making it accessible to as many people as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So I wondered if maybe you want to tell us a little bit about that, kind of what's on the schedule and why and who we're trying to reach and that sort of thing.
Okay, sure. Well, there's lots on the schedule. One of the things I wanted to say is the designer, the page is 36 inches long.
Oh my God.
That's how much is on the schedule this year. But anyway,
do you have any idea like what it's been in years past?
Not nearly that long.
20 or something, yeah. I hadn't even thought of it, but as I'm scrolling through it, I can see it is. It's way longer than usual.
Yeah. And so there's lots of retreats this year. You know, there's a variety of topics. There's, I think, several new topics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a variety of longer and shorter retreats.
Yeah.
Like there's the usual 8 and 7 day retreats. And then I think some are 5 day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one retreat that's 3 days.
Yeah. Actually, are you talking about the rest and be thankful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's... I think there's more than one of those. Is that right? I'm going to scroll to that.
Yeah, I think there's more than one of those on the schedule.
Yeah. Actually, there's 4 of them.
So there's more than 3 day retreats.
The great pleasure of facilitating one of those last year. And it was just such a fun, kind of perfect amount of time. So, you know, often people can't get away for an entire week. They've got kids or they don't have that much vacation time or for whatever reason, they can. And we even had people come from far away to come for those days. And it seemed like the perfect amount of time to come to the monastery, and that particular topic was so lovely. I really enjoyed walking with people through a process of just being quiet for an entire long weekend. And, of course, we're always quiet when we're at the monastery, but that retreat in general really invites that, just letting go and allowing yourself to receive the, you know, the gift of being on retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then so there's also a few new topics, and there's several retreats, I think, that are 5 days.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we also have our you know, what do you want to say? I want to say our old standbys, but that's not a good way to say it. You know, the retreats that are at the heart of the practice, like there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
And not what but how, which are the longer retreats.
Yeah, well, and I think if by standby we mean foundational, which it kind of is, they really are. I mean, someone said recently, I can't remember maybe it was on the radio show, that it's a great retreat for people who are just coming to practice, and it's a really good retreat to repeat every couple years, 2 or 3 years.
Right, right. Because I was thinking about that before the call, and you know, I think I've done There's Nothing Wrong With You 3 times, and I think I did Not What But How 10 times.
Is that right? Oh my gosh, we should have like records, records for the most Not What But How.
And you know, it was always a different retreat every time.
Yeah, completely different. Yeah.
So that's the great thing about it. But we do have new topics as well. So.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's that. We also have retreats in some different locations this year. We're having a New England retreat and one in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, those retreats are going to be on the topic that Sherry and Ashwini's new book is around. It's about transforming resistance. And so there's also one of those at the monastery. So there's three of those this year. That's a brand new retreat.
So I have to admit, I love the entire schedule. I'm looking forward to all of it. And I can't wait for that retreat.
I know.
And the
I
book.
Know.
You know, and the book. I just think it's such perfect timing in the sense of, so we're just finishing the year of deepening practice. That's leading us into the year of Sangha being lit up together. You know, really seeing Sangha as a cooperative. And what's conditioning going to do? It's going to... crazy. You know, and just resistance, like I project, people will, you know, will be shocked at the resistance that will arise. And so to have this book and the retreat coming out this year, that's just too perfect.
Yeah, that is a perfect combination, having a lit up Sangha and then all the support around transforming resistance.
Yeah, and not being surprised by what's going to, you know, get thrown at you in the other direction. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Very exciting.
It is. It is. And
the other thing, Jen, I wanted to say is just to me how important retreats are.
Mm.
You know, for a few years I did practice and I didn't go on retreats, and then I finally got the nerve to go to the monastery. And, it was just amazing, you know, how, you know, being in that retreat environment and have my heart supported so fully was just amazing, and you know how it modeled how I want to support myself in my daily life. And so, you know, it seems like just, you know, being immersed in that environment for several days allowed me to, you know, experience that expansiveness of life when I'm not focused on conditioned mind.
Yeah. Well, and as you say that, Marie, I wonder if it's a huge assistance to people. I mean, it's a huge assistance to people at every level of practice, at every, you know, entry point along the way. But the one that you're talking about feels like it really points at, so there you are at home and you're practicing in all the ways you're practicing, but coming here really helps those roots take hold so that you really have a much stronger foundation of practice in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, it's hard to even describe how much difference it makes to go on retreat. It's
and even now, you know, I mean, I know when you first started retreat, there was barely anything beyond retreat. I mean, there were books and, you know, then came the radio show, and then came email and email classes and that sort of thing. But in the olden days, there wasn't all of that. And so really, coming on retreat was critical. And yet it's still, even with all of that far-flung support, you're right, it's not the same as being here physically and being with people, you know, 24 hours a day and really having that immersion in practice.
Right, right. It seems like with us having so many other things, it's still just the foundation, you know, to actually go on retreat and experience the privileged environment. And I personally have never been in any other environment that supports the heart so deeply.
Ooh.
And so also on our schedule, not just retreats, there's the usual at-home practice opportunities. There's going to be email classes with Sherry. There's the Reflective Listening Buddies practice, the home retreats, and guidance days, as well as our year-long retreat that we're going to be starting soon.
Based on kicking off with the video event on the 20th.
Right, right. That's coming up next, this Sunday.
Yeah, gosh, yeah, that's right. Wow. It all happens quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does.
And so I think some of the retreats are open. They open, the reason I, from what I understand, that we publish the whole schedule is so that people can really plan their lives around, oh, okay, I really want to go to that retreat in August, so I'm going to take my vacation time in August and like that. But that as sort of the time gets closer to the retreat, the registration will begin to open. But so some of the early retreats, the registration is open, and the retreats later in the year, I don't think it's open quite yet.
Yeah, they usually open about a month before the retreat. And so, Jen, there's actually two schedule pages. There's one that has, you know, all the retreats listed with their descriptions, and then you can click to the schedule by date page, which really helps you plan if you're planning around vacations and that kind of thing.
Yes. You know, that is, I was going to say that's a small detail. I'm sure from the IT perspective, that's not at all a small detail. But what I was going to say is it's a small detail that makes a huge difference. To be able to view the schedule in those two different ways. I really appreciate that level of care being brought to the presentation.
Right. And so you can see the schedule at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Excellent. And it is beautiful. I will say that. I know you can't comment on that part. but I can, because I had nothing to do with it. And it is beautiful. So thank you, Marie, for everything you do to help make everything we do beautiful, and for all your participation and all of that. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll hand it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you doing? I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. I'm smiling because I'll tell you a little something that I think you know, but maybe not. Last week, you did a radio show, right?
Yes.
But I wasn't here.
Yeah, I noticed.
Because I was on retreat.
Wow.
And yes, I was. So I've smiled all through the conversation that Jen and Marie just had about retreat and how important it is to be on retreat and all that. So, you know, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I've been to a lot of retreats, but I haven't been on retreat. And last week, I was actually on retreat.
Wow.
And I can't say enough for the value of being on retreat. I've said to a couple of people that on the entire time that I was gone, perhaps on one day, I came close to uttering 50 words.
Wow.
On several days, none, if you don't count good morning to somebody, you know, who was passing me by.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually under 20 words. And to be in silence like that, and to have somebody guide a retreat experience, it was absolute heaven.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So wonderful. I'm hoping everybody who listens to this show makes it to at least one retreat this year. At least one. I know.
Great.
I'm going to have another.
Great.
Yeah.
If not several.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that testimonial.
Mm. There's nothing like it. There really isn't. There's just nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I have some announcements here.
All right.
You, Sherry, will be offering a free live video workshop this Sunday, January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is invited to be a part of this special Sangha-wide event. It's going to kick us off on a year of exploration of the cooperative of practice. And if you haven't signed up, now is the time, because registration closes tomorrow, Wednesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes. And I think there's something about the don't sign up unless you really plan to be there, because there's limited capacity and like that.
Yes, I think that's
part
true.
Of it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because it'll be streamed video over the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Good. I think it's going to be fun.
Great. And that will kick off a year-long retreat entitled The Cooperative of Practice, Being Lit Up Together.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll explore together what it means to practice together as Sangha, to belong, to participate, to do meaningful work, and to give and receive.
Yes.
And as Marie mentioned, it includes 2 email classes with you, Sherry, 3 at-home workshops, and a special weekly call-in show with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things that I know about that, I don't know if people talk about it, but one of the aspects that I'm most excited about is, so like last year, I thought last year deepening practice was just a phenomenal experience, at least it was for me. And what happened, of course, is that we did the kickoff in January, I guess it was last year, and then, you know, we stayed with it as best we could, some of us, because we were committed to being together every week, like me, for instance.
Yes.
You know, I had an easier time, I think, staying with it throughout the entire year. But it's difficult to maintain commitments over long periods of time, which is why we harp on the participate and show up and be a part of, because we need a tremendous amount of support. We get off by ourselves and things kind of fade, and then we get talked into listening to voices in our head talk to us about what we should be doing instead of practicing, and it's hard. It's really difficult to be out there in the world on one's own. And so this time, with the workshops that are happening on a quarterly basis, will be an opportunity to recharge that commitment, kind of a booster shot, where we all get together and we remember again who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it, and so we only have to keep up that momentum for a short period of time instead of an entire year. So I'm excited about this particular approach. I think I'm hoping it's going to be helpful for folks.
Great, great. That sounds fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And it all begins on January 25th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's the email class halfway through. So
Yeah. That's,
you know, we have an email class to start, an email class halfway through. You know, we're just going to do it, as Jen and Marie were indicating, you know, here we are doing all this kind of really gearing up as a Sangha, you know, bigger commitments to practice and bringing more of our lives into practice and that sort of thing. And so resistance from karmic conditioning is just going to go crazy. And so all the support that we can get, we really increase our chances of being successful.
Yes, yes. And it sounds like you and Ashwini are dissecting resistance, so we will not be surprised.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I hope so. Yeah, I'm really pleased with the book. I think I do think we're dissecting it in a way that is going to be meaningful for people, helpful for people, and then being able to apply this through retreats and through, again, this kind of support that we're looking at. It's a remarkable time in awareness practice. It really is. Jen referred to, you know, back when Marie started doing practice back in the olden days. And, I mean, the olden days, even when I started practicing, was one thing. You know, I could get in a car and go to the monastery where I trained for sitting groups, that sort of thing, as my practice started out. You know, back with the Buddha, there was nothing. You know, either you went there and pretty much you better live there, because getting to and from was, a life commitment. And now there is so much that we can do. And the thing that is most thrilling for me about all of it is that we have the ability, I think for the first time in the history of humanity, to use against karmic conditioning the very tools and techniques that it has used against us. That's never been possible before. And I just think we need to take full advantage of the opportunity that we have. And, again, when we try to go up against it, we all know what a fuss it kicks up when we disturb its control over us and over our lives. So as we decide that we're going to reclaim our lives, because now we know that we can. It's not just a, hey, I hope meditation takes for me, and I'm going to be one of the fortunate ones who maybe this is going to work for. I mean, at this point, it's a step-by-step process. You do these things, and they're not, find the oomph inside of you to sit in meditation for several hours every day. They're very specific tools that we can use step-by-step to transform our lives. And it's miraculous. It really is.
It is.
We're very fortunate.
We are very fortunate. And what keeps coming up for me is being inundated and immersed in practice. And
yes.
With all the tools that you're offering and the monastery is offering, it's great. It's coming from the left. It's coming from the right, which is how we need that support, because that's how conditioning is coming at us too.
That's exactly right. But always before, it's been coming at us from every direction. Most people didn't realize that that was what was going on. I'm suffering. That's just how it is. It's me. It's my fault. There's nothing I can do about it. My life doesn't work. It looks like everybody else's does, so it's obviously my fault. And I'm hopeless, and I might as well just give up and resign myself to a life of suffering. And that's not an unusual take. So, as most of us know. So to be able to come at our lives with the kind of practice tools that not only will meet that attack, that relentless attack from karmic conditioning, but can overcome it. It's astounding. It has never happened before. And again, what I mean by that is, sure, if you're a Bodhidharma or you're a Dogen or you're a Dankai, these old guys that we read about, yes, they were able to transform their lives from suffering to freedom. And then there's all the rest of us, wondering how they did it and reading the books and trying to get the inspiration and that sort of thing. And so this is transforming lives. Kind of, I hate to sound like something from, an ad campaign, but for everybody.
Yes.
You don't have to be a specially endowed person. Although we are, because we are in this position to realize that it's possible to end suffering. But realizing that it's possible to end suffering is one thing. Having the tools to do it is another. So it's a big time. I'll tell you, I am glad that I have lived long enough to see it. I think the world is actually going to change in a lot of ways. I have never before held an opinion that humankind would necessarily change that much.
Uh-huh.
I still don't know if it will. But for the people who want to have a different life, for the people who know that they want to end suffering, this is a whole new world.
Well, that's inspiring.
Yeah, good. I'm inspired. I want us to do it. I want us to do it. I want this Sangha to be the Sangha that does it, the Sangha that proves that it is possible. It is possible that things like depression, it's possible to put that in the past. All kinds of suffering situations that people have been in where the voices just take them from, you know, what would be possible for them into a pit of despair. And that this group of people is people who prove that it's possible, regardless of life circumstances, to have the life that we choose, the life of joy and satisfaction and peace and kindness that is possible for a human being to have, regardless of life circumstances. So that's what I'm hoping we're going to do this year, and I'm hoping that that's the conversation I'm going to be in. So I'm hoping that there are a lot of folks who want to be in that conversation with me.
Great. Well, we have a lot of folks right here, so that's convenient.
Yeah. And maybe other people would like to talk about this besides me.
Yes. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started.
Thanks, Michael.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
Yes. It's Ramita.
Hey.
Charleston.
Oh, hi, Ramita.
Hello. I had my earbuds in. I needed to scramble and get my phone set up.
Get a different configuration going.
Right. Right. It's sort of like playing Russian roulette calling into the radio station. Don't know where I am in the queue, if I'm in the queue, and sort of, oh my goodness, I'm number one. Okay.
Yeah. Russian roulette in the most positive sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's that spark of you're right here, right now. And
Good. But what's going on?
I'm really, really also excited about this year coming up. In some ways, I feel a little bit like I'm in suspended animation between the end of the deepening practice year and the beginning of the next focus on Sangha. And the overriding impulse that keeps coming to me is trust the process. Trust the process. And it's serving you really well.
Yes. Yes. So having the focus of your attention be trusting the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about St. Teresa of Avila. People know one of my great heroes. Focus of her attention was thank you. That was it. Thank you. Of course, she was talking to God, you know. So that's good. And so it wasn't a big, complex program she was on. It was just thank you, which is another way of saying trust the process.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Thy will be done. Life?
Yes.
You're animating me. I'm obviously in your hands. And so I trust the process.
Yeah, everything's okay. Life is taking me exactly where I need to be, when I need to be there. All I have to do is pay attention, and the gifts come, and I see what I need to see.
Yes, yes. And the tricky part for folks in that, and I know that you'll resonate with this, it's great when I look around and I'm somewhere that I want to be or somewhere that I recognize. If I recognize it and I want to be there, that's the best. But when I look around and I'm not certain, or I look around and this doesn't feel good, I don't like this. This is not, I'm disappointed or I'm frightened or I'm upset or whatever, then to still choose the process. That's a little challenging.
Yes, yes. And I've gained some skill with that since being on the Not What But How retreat this summer. And it feels like the scales have tipped away from the, I don't like this and I'm a bad person or a bad meditator because I don't like this, to maybe I don't like this, but I'm really curious about how this is happening.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Boy, that's big, isn't it? It's like, I don't like this. Huh, I wonder why.
Yeah, what is it about this? What's the story I'm telling myself? What's the sensation, and what am I saying it means? So the curiosity.
What if it's not true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if I actually like it, but I never got a chance to be with it long enough to find out?
Yep, that comes up a lot. And so it feeds this trusting the process. It feeds being curious,
mm-hmm.
and it's really quite amazing. And for me, coming up to this year of Sangha and participating as a cooperative Sangha, I can already feel so many buttons getting pushed. This Enya type 5 really likes to stay in her head and be isolated and solitary, and I'm gonna push back and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that curiosity. You mentioned curiosity. That's the whole deal, isn't it? That's the whole deal. So with an Enya type 5, I only go there under great stress, but I understand the appeal, so if I look at that, and whatever my deal is, you know, for each person, we all have our deal. So okay, I'm pretty convinced that this is me and this is true and this is what I like and this is what I want and this is how I need it to be and that's what makes me happy. And interestingly, I rarely get that combination all together at the same time, so I can actually spend more time being unhappy than happy. So if this, you know, what's on the other side of that? So I'm told I like it to be this way, but what would be available to me if I liked it every way? What if I liked it any way it is? What would my life look like then?
Yes, great big yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. So that's the curiosity, isn't it? Huh.
Yes.
Well, I wonder what else is... Okay, yeah, I know I like that. I know I like being in my head and isolated and in solitude. I know I like that, but what else is there to like?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun,
well,
isn't it?
It sure will, Sherry. So thank you so much. I'm going to say good night and look forward to our workshop together on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Ramita. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sherry. It's Linda from Alabama.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, I just, you know, I always say I'm going to call in once a month, and it's usually about 5 or 6 months before I get back to it. So I was trying to go ahead and call in.
Okay.
I guess the story that I hear the most these days is that the simplest way to say it is nothing works. You know, like, it's like the more I understand that there's, it feels like the more I understand everything in the practice, the less I can do it or something. I don't know. I can't really explain it. And I realize, too, that it's a lot of that's just EKC telling me that. I just...
Uh-huh. That's a critical insight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to the voices tell you how you're doing,
right,
you're always going to fail.
So here's one of the things I've been doing a lot. It's like trying to be right, you know, like, okay, I'm just going to be right here, right now, and just be with the breath and be in this moment and not check back to see if it's working. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The if I'm understanding you, the very process of checking to see if it's working is being in relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and it's always going to tell you that it's not working. Did I miss the point?
Sherry?
Yeah.
Looks like we lost her.
Oh. I thought I was so far in left field that she was having that much trouble grasping what I was saying. So I'm actually relieved. Can you keep an eye out for her? Is that possible?
Yes,
okay.
I'll definitely keep an eye out for her, and let's move on to the next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Next
Hello?
Caller.
Hi.
Hello?
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 Michael, can you hear the caller?
Yes. You're now live.
Hello?
Wow.
Andrea, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great. You're now live on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi. I didn't know if you could hear me.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling to check in. I guess it's been a while since I called, and I'm not sure when I did last time. I wanted to connect.
Uh-huh, and we're not going to look to conditioned mind to find out when it was, right? Because it'll just tell you it was too long, and really it's been so long that you shouldn't have even called this time. So it doesn't matter because we're here now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. Good. So, connecting, what's up?
Well, I guess what I'm noticing lately is I've had medical issues that I'm dealing with, and I've been noticing a lot of conditioning coming up around that and going into a victim story, and it's been like bouts of conditioning. So I heard you talking about depression earlier on the call, and you know, in the past I had depression, and it seemed like I was always depressed, like I was always angry and always, you know, in self-hate or projecting it outward. And now it's not really like that. It's more like I get these bouts of it, and then I disidentify. But the bouts are really intense.
Now, once again, that seems like a really important thing to see, doesn't it? Because that's a very significant disidentification, to be able to step back and see how that process is working. So going from feeling, of course, you weren't always in it, but you were being told you were always in it and believing you were always in it, so it felt like you were always in it. But now you've practiced enough that you're stepping back and realizing that it's like an attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you're going along and everything is however it is, and then boom, everybody jumps on you at the same time, and then it's over. If you can kind of breathe through it, wait it out, the attack dissipates and you go back to just life.
Yeah, it seems like it can be like short term, like in the middle of the night where it's really intense,
mm-hmm.
or it can be longer term, like lasting maybe a half a day or almost a whole day. And what I notice is a lot of the triggers when it seems to be the worst is in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult in the morning and in the middle of the night. And the other trigger I notice that triggers it is frustration when, because I have this process of overwhelm and being afraid to do things and
mm-hmm.
Kind of trying to do things and just, you know, do it anyway, even though I'm feeling the overwhelm. And what normally happens or usually happens is that usually things aren't as bad as I think they're going to be. But then
May I?
Yeah.
They're not as bad as you're told they're going to be.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
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 Because that's the whole deal, right? Again, it's that looking to conditioning, and the information it's giving you is, that's just, and then you do it and realize, well, actually, it was fine. But now you are going to go on. It sounds like there are sometimes
it's actually kind of the opposite, where I go into something not thinking it will be that bad, I'm not prepared, and then there's something frustrating, and then
mm-hmm.
I get very, very frustrated, and that can trigger a massive attack. So the
mm-hmm.
triggers seem to be, you know, frustration, like early morning and pain, physical pain that I'm dealing with, and my medical conditions.
Mm-hmm. So, and now, can you, this would be one where it'd be interesting to get out a calendar and chart it, okay? Because there are two sides of the duality there. So one, and so it puts you in fear and overwhelm and that sort of thing. And then the next one it pulls on you is, nothing's going on. You're just, and then it hits you. Okay, so when you could be paying attention because there's something big going on, it distracts you into a false sense of, I don't really need to attend to anything because there's nothing going on. And when there isn't anything going on, then it takes you into a fear and anxiety and overwhelm and that sort of thing. So it's constantly orchestrating your reaction to life circumstances that are exactly the opposite to what it's presenting.
Yeah, and kind of what it does is, you know, like what happens is I have this fear and overwhelm. I kind of get through that. I go
mm-hmm.
to work. I pull myself together. And then it's usually okay, except those times when it's not okay. And then
yes.
I feel like I don't have the resilience to deal yes. with it.
Yep. And so it's really important just to see how you're being played. You know, how it's orchestrating, how conditioning is orchestrating your energy reactions in a completely inappropriate way. So, in other words, it has you get upset when there's nothing to be upset over, tells you there's nothing to be concerned about, when actually being concerned might be a good and intelligent approach.
Interesting. So it's kind of like, on the one hand, it seems like that it's telling me that, you know, that everything's awful. I mean, it's really, really severe. It'll say things like, you know, I can't live another day. I don't want to deal. I can't do it. And
mm-hmm.
then what happens is that I kind of somehow get through that, somehow force myself to go to work, and then it's, or do whatever I have to do. And then it's, yeah, it's not like there's anything, like it's either this really exaggerated concern or this kind of like do it anyway, and it doesn't seem like there's much compassion, and it doesn't seem like
yeah.
there's a way to be concerned that is compassionate, I guess.
Yes. You're never going to get any compassion there. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
You know that. It's self-hate.
Right.
It's you're never going to win. I mean, we got to establish that right now. You are never going to get it right. You're never going to get any sympathy. You're never going to get any care. Never. It's there. It's a suffering system. It's a survival system for suffering. Okay. So that's really, really important to get. So it's you're seeking advice. And you go to this therapist, and then find out this. Sorry, I just looked ahead at what I was going to say. I'm going to say it anyway. That the therapist is an agent of the devil.
Oh my God, that's a terrible thought.
Isn't that awful? But yeah. it's a good image, right? So there
right.
you are. You know, you're listening to this advice, and you're pouring your heart out, and you're trying, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's going to take you a long time to go, wait a minute, you know, where did you get your credentials there? There's something wrong with you, okay? The problem is not me here. The problem is you, and that's the relationship that we have to get to with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. We have to stop assuming it's okay and there's something wrong with us. It's exactly the opposite. We're fine and there's something really wrong with it.
Wow. Well, I guess I just really need to hear that more, because, boy, does it, you know, it just goes into this whole victim story. And I guess what I'm seeing, which I didn't see before, is just that, you know, that there maybe there is a way to be concerned, that maybe it is a valid to be concerned, and maybe self-hate is just telling me I have to either just, you know, be in the state of overwhelm, or else I have to be in the state of, you know, just do it.
Right. And so what you can learn to do, and here's the technique, okay? I don't know if you've been hearing this, people talk about this, but this is kind of getting traction in Sangha, and that is having the recorder on all night,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because it's getting you in the night, and it's a nice idea. I mean, it's a very helpful plan to have the recorder there for when you wake up, but when you wake up, it wakes you up, right? It's gotten so bad what it's doing to you that you can't sleep through it any longer. So you're already, it's already got you where you don't want to be. Now it's a reclamation program, right? You're now trying to come back from this hole that it's thrown you into. So if you have that recording going all night, then the messages that you're getting, the information that you're getting, and I think, I don't know this, okay, I don't. All you people are going to report to me. We're going to find out this year together, okay? But I think that what happens is you are going to be more tuned in to the sound of your own voice and the information that you're getting on that recorder than you are to those voices inside your head. Even though they've been there far longer, the thing that will capture your attention is the sound of your own voice and the information that you want to be receiving. So it doesn't have an opportunity to do to you as you sleep what it's been able to do to you in the past as you sleep. So you're going to wake up in a different frame of mind, right? So you wake up to the recording. And so you're listening to the information that you want to hear as you wake up, as you start your day. And, you know, what you can do is create the recordings for all of the situations. So there's
right.
what you want to be listening to all night long. And then when you wake up, you flip the channels to what you want to hear now as you start your day. Okay, because you're going to, you know, there's a family there and there's getting ready for work and there's, you know, there's all of that. And so it's helping her into the day. And then there's on the way to work. And what does she need to hear as she's going to work? And like that.
Yeah, I'll have to try that. I mean, I listen to the recordings a good part of the night because what happens is I get woken up in the middle of the night and then I
right.
listen to the recordings, but I don't listen to them when I'm sleeping because I'm told that I won't be able to sleep if they're on. But
yeah, or yeah, you might actually be able to sleep while they're on, which
yeah.
is what that voice is not interested in having happen.
Right. So mm-hmm. yeah, I can experiment with that tonight.
Oh, absolutely, and experiment with it and give it a while because again, if you look to conditioned mind, it's going to tell you. This isn't working, you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be tired, and that is utter hogwash. Okay? If you were to lie there in your little bed, happily relaxed, listening to the information that you need to have about your life and how things work, you will be far better off the next day than if you had been tormented all night by conditioned mind, even though it appeared that you were asleep.
Oh, boy. Well, I have a whole bunch of reassurances, and I also made a tape for the morning, so I could just set
Good.
It to go repeat endlessly. So
it repeat endlessly. Somebody said to me recently, had the awareness that it doesn't matter what the recording says. It doesn't matter. Oh, I just remember, it is she. She realized that she has all these recordings and that there was some, you know, programmed information saying you have to figure out which one you should be this, and she finally got it. They're all coming from the heart.
Right.
That's the only thing that matters. They're all information from somebody that loves you unconditionally.
And I've actually had that experience a lot myself.
Good. Yeah. Good. All right. Now, you're one of our test cases here, and you know, being a scientist yourself, the importance of gathering this kind of data. So you're going to let me know, aren't you?
Yeah. So basically doing the recording all night and also recording when the bouts happen, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when and what days and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep, because the thing about it is, the overwhelm, well, you want to be there to encourage her and take care of her and nurture her through challenging situations. When there's nothing going on, you want to be there to nurture her and take care of her and help her pay attention so karmic conditioning doesn't sneak up on her.
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Well,
thank you
so much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air. And Sherry, I think we may have Linda back here on the line.
Oh, good. Oh, very good.
Travis.
Hello.
Linda, are you there?
I am here.
Great.
Oh, good. Good.
All of a sudden, now we're gone.
I thought I'd said something that was so whatever that you were stumped. And then finally Michael said you were gone, and I felt a little relief, actually. Oh. That, so
I had the same experience here. I think I was talking about that one of the ways I try to practice is to kind of like be in the now, and I realized that what happens is I tend to check back to see if it's working, and when I check back, I'm anxious or depressed or whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to not check back. Well, then, I don't know, that didn't work either. I don't know.
I'm gonna encourage you to go with that one. Because this is one of those things that I say that sound crazy until you've done practice for a while. You've done practice for a while, so it may sound crazy, but you'll get over that quickly.
Okay.
If you were depressed,
uh-huh,
and you didn't know it, would it be a
problem?
Right.
If I was depressed and didn't know it, would it be a problem? No, I guess not.
Anything we are. It's the conversation that kills us. It's not how we feel. You know, I could be having any kind of sensations in my body, and if there weren't a labeling and a story attached to it, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to encourage you to go with that one. You know,
okay,
you're practicing being present. You're practicing being present. Now, part of being present, how do you want to be when you're present? How do you want to feel, or what's the life experience you want to have?
I want to feel joyful and relaxed and calm. And
okay. And
yeah.
So, of course, my take on that would be a non-stop mantra of I choose joy and relax. And calm.
Okay.
And that's where your attention is. And you don't check to see. You don't ask conditioned mind, am I joyful? Am I relaxed? Doesn't matter. Because what you're focused on is what you choose. And, of course, the wonderful, magical part about that is that when you don't check, when you just stay with what your choice is, that is your experience. And over time, you'll start getting information, not from conditioned mind, but you'll start realizing that you are actually joyful and you are relaxed. You are calm. You are feeling peaceful. I'm feeling peaceful. You know, I feel just drawn to go sit under a tree. And it'll drop in that, wow, that's really different.
Really
different. See? But it'll drop in as an insight. It won't come in the form of that conversation that we are so trained to listen to.
And so the bodily sensations that you're feeling and I do that a lot. I mean, I do that a lot nowadays. It's like, I'm feeling anxious. And then I think, okay, well, you know, really and truly, what's so terrible about that feeling? It's not really that terrible.
Let's call it excitement.
Excitement.
Let's call it
okay.
Anticipation. Wow, probably good things are headed toward me. However, I choose to be relaxed.
And joyful.
And joyful. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I will try that.
And you'll let me know.
And I'll let you know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Linda. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing open air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Margaret. I'm going to get off the speakerphone. Hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi. Well, one of the first things I wanted just to say was I'm participating in the awareness coaching. And,
oh, yes.
And it's fabulous. It's just such a it's such a wonderful, helpful support. So I just encourage anyone who is not doing it or thinking about it, I would encourage them to do it because it really is helpful. And one of the things about it is there's a midweek check-in where you email and then they email you back. And mm-hmm. and the first, whenever I get an email back, it just feels so so supportive and like, yes, I'm on the right track. And it just, it feels like how I hope my mentor will be at some point. You know, it's what I aspire for my mentor to be for myself.
Uh-huh. And so you're kind of in mentor training.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know,
realizing what that is.
Yeah. Because it's easy to get isolated and, you know, just alone with conditioned mind and not really having perspective on how, you know, just how things are going other than conditioned minds, you know, interpretation of how things are going.
Exactly. So I think it was Ashwini who talked about the coaching as a group of one. So, you know, when we're on retreat or at the monastery or wherever, we have group and sitting groups around the country, you know, you have group. So you sit and then you have a group discussion and we get to talk about whatever is going on and have somebody facilitate us and mirror it back and draw us out and ask questions, you know, and all of that sort of thing. And it's right. And when we don't have that, the only group we have that we get to participate in is the one with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Okay? And that's a group of one as well, right? So there's me coming to group and there's it. You know, talking to me all the time, reflecting what I say, telling me that it's wrong and how I didn't do that and I should have that and that means that and all of that. So now with coaching, you get a group of one and you have the equivalent of a mentor, right? And so now you have a group of one that is really beneficial for you.
It is, and you know what? Just from what you're saying, it's like it's kind of like a little mini retreat every week.
Yes.
You know, with you saying that feedback and
yeah,
and it's really helpful.
The main thing of what you're saying to me that I wish everybody could hear and get is, you're not alone. You're not out there isolated, counting on you know, sort of your own ability to go up against that giant force. You know, you got an ally.
And it's like I didn't realize how alone I felt until I did it and then, you know, have gotten some, you know, feedback and just participating. And I just felt so overcome with gratitude and appreciation and I felt so much more connected.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. It takes us out of that feeling isolated and just all by ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, if we're going to be overwhelmed with gratitude is a good overwhelm to have, isn't it?
It's so good. Oh, my gosh, what a great feeling it is.
Yeah.
Good. So I had a question in that one of the focuses for my awareness coaching is around the process of self-care.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm kind of looking at how, you know, what time I get up in the morning fits in with the process of self-care for myself. And mm-hmm. I just was wondering if maybe you had some,
tell me what you're looking at.
Well, it does seem like, so for me, getting up early is, you know, 5:30 is early for me, and 5 would be really early, and so my natural, like, when I just wake up in the morning is between 6:30 and 7, and, mm-hmm. but it does seem like getting up early, like 5:30 or so, is kind of the time of the day where I, like, have some control kind of over how my day goes. Like,
the rest of the team.
Yeah, the rest of the team just arrived. in that it's a quiet time and it's like before everybody gets up, and so I have this opportunity to kind of, you know, I can meditate and I can do a little recording and listening and do some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I never regret getting up that early. But it does seem like it's a challenge for me to get up that early.
Mm-hmm.
There is resistance that comes up. Sometimes it's a little kid just saying, you know, I don't want to get up. Don't tell me what to do. And then other times it's, well, I just naturally wake up at, you know, 6:37. That just seems
okay.
to be how much sleep I need. So
tell me this. What are evenings like? And since I know we're coming up on the hour, so I'm going to lead the witness a little bit. Do
okay.
you tend to stay up later than might be good for you, in the sense that that's where you're trying to get your little bit of time and space for you?
Like in the evening?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Like after kids go to bed or whatever it is that goes on and then things quiet down a little bit?
No. No, I actually wind down fairly early. I'm not really a late, you know, I don't really stay up late. Sleeping is one of the things that makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, good.
But I do.
Well, then,
go ahead.
Well, so you feel like you go to bed early enough to get the sleep that you need. And you just, your body kind of naturally falls into a go to sleep at this time, wake up 6:30, 7, feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, and then what happens is that, you know, the rest of life wakes up and people are calling
right.
and people are texting and people are going to work. And so then, you know, usually I come around to, it feels like having some kind of structure and routine would feel supportive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, here's my encouragement, okay?
Okay.
I would want you to do a little recording and listening or a little two-chair exercise if you do that or, you know, something that helps you talk to the folks who are involved. Because a little kid who says, don't tell me what to do, I'm suspicious of. Okay, I really am. I it doesn't sound like little kid kind of, you know, mm-hmm. maybe teenager, but and then also to talk to the one who wants the time for herself, who wants to be able to meditate and do her practices and feel like she kind of has a start on the day and that sort of thing. To hear from
yeah.
her, because she's the one who's not getting what she wants. Right, she's
right.
the one who's been sacrificed, really, basically all along. And
right.
then, once you kind of get clear about who's who, maybe not make it an either or. So maybe every other day, you get up early, then the next day you sleep in a little, not at 6:30 sleeping in, but
right.
we know what we mean by that. But
yeah.
You know, so you go back and forth. So there's something for everybody. So she gets to meditate, be up early and meditate maybe 3 or 4 days a week, and the other part gets to sleep a little more 3 or 4 days. and just see how it begins to unfold.
Well, that sounds like a really nice, gentle way to approach it.
Yeah, and try that for a while, and then give me a call and let me know how it's going. And
okay.
And we can, you know, because I want to know. And also just to see what then the next steps might be. Because, again, you know, we get a lot of information about, now, I'm a big supporter of getting enough sleep. I think especially Americans have bought into this. You know, if you want to do more than a human being really ought to be doing, then you have to give up sleep. And there's so much evidence that not sleeping enough is terrible for our health on every level, body, mind, emotion, and spirit. So I'm not encouraging you to just not get enough sleep, but also to look at where that information is coming from.
That's why I was calling.
Yeah, good.
Because I feel like
good.
It needs more inquiry into.
yeah. And so there's the curiosity and the spirit of inquiry and, you know, well, what happens if I this and what happens if I that? And
yeah.
If you've been listening to this show, at least, you know, you don't want to look to conditioned mind for information because all you'll learn is that everything you're doing is wrong.
Right. So
yeah,
I'm calling
very
and
good.
Participating, and I appreciate
yeah.
that you're out there.
Yeah, well, very good. And so let's do it again.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. Wow. That was great.
Yeah. This is a good time, isn't it?
It is a good time. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, me too.
Overwhelmed
me too.
With gratitude.
Overwhelmed with gratitude. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Love it.
All right, so we'll do it again?
Okay, next week.
Yeah, and am I going to see you on Sunday?
You will.
Good. I'll look forward to it.
Looking
Thanks,
forward
Michael.
To it. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.